Dr. Thomas Krivak, who is the chair of the gynecological oncology at Allegheny Health Network. Cervical cancer and prevention, today's subject. Doc, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I want to start with the question that I'm sure you get all the time from women. What age should they start to be screened for cervical cancer?
The age that they say has changed, and it may change again. It used to be age at first intercourse or 18, and now it's moved up to 21. What I would say is just if a woman is engaged in sexual activity, that they should see a gynecologist and discuss with them the appropriate screening that needs to be done. But the guidelines say right around age 21, we should start screening. I'd have to say that the cervical cancer screening guidelines, probably over the last 15 to 20 years, have decreased screening intervals because of improvements in pap smear and improvements in HPV testing. But I still think it's very important because these guidelines are constantly changing due to many reasons, whether it's the changing of sexually transmitted diseases, the change of vaccinations, the change in technology. But I think that women still should see a gynecologist yearly to discuss these issues, to do a well-woman examination, and part of that well-woman examination may be a pap smear, cervical cancer screening type of test.
One of the things we've heard so much about over the last few years is the HPV virus, and I'm sure that's part of the testing that goes on to screen. Should an HPV test be taken by every woman?
No. The immune system does mature. The immune system gets exposed to many types of bacteria and viruses all the time. And what a lot of research has shown is that most women under the age of 30 will be exposed to the virus, and it does take some time to clear the virus. So what we call co-testing, which is you do a pap smear to look at abnormal cells and you collect DNA and RNA to do an HPV test, that generally starts at about the age of 30. So women under the age of 30, most people would say that at this point we're just doing liquid-based type of pap smears.
Doc, people who have had women with cervical dysplasia or precancer, can you explain what that is? And for the men, too, so we have a better understanding of the women in our lives.
Absolutely. So cervical dysplasia, how I usually term it is, you can have normal cells, you can have cancerous cells. Dysplasia is that transformation from normal to cancer. Not all dysplasia cells will turn into cancer because, again, our bodies are going to fight off those abnormal cells. We're going to try to replace those abnormal cells with new cells. But the different grades of dysplasia do pose different risks for progressing to cancer. And, again, there are many, many, many different types of HPV virus. And depending upon the strain of the virus, some viruses really won't predispose you to cancer, but they'll predispose you to genital warts or to low-grade dysplasia, which is on the low-end spectrum of having abnormalities. And a lot of patients that I see that have low-grade dysplasia, I'll tell them that this really is not life-threatening. It's more of a nuisance. You're coming into the doctor. We're having to do testing. We're having to do minor surgical procedures. But it's really not life-threatening. It's to make sure that it doesn't progress onto the high-grade dysplasia or cancer. So there's a whole spectrum of dysplasia, but dysplasia is not cancer. In groups of patients that are well-screened, your goal is really to have more dysplasia than cancer. So if we go back before the pap smear in the United States, if you look at undeveloped countries that don't do pap smear screening, they have high rates of cancer, low rates of dysplasia because they're not screening for that precancerous abnormality. So I think in the United States, it's estimated about 2.5 to 3 million women will actually have dysplasia on pap smear, which is a quite large number. But really, the number that we really need to pay attention to is cervical cancer, and that's been fluctuating between 10 and 12,000 patients per year. So high numbers of dysplasia, very low numbers of cancer. Obviously, we'd like to get those numbers even lower for cancer. It'd be nice to get lower numbers of dysplasia. But to me, catching something in a precancer state is the best that we can do at this time.
So you've done a great job of detailing the screening options and what can be done. What about prevention? What do you advise women to help prevent cervical cancer?
Well, the HPV vaccine is very, very important, and it's women and men because, you know, men do carry the virus and transmit it to women. Additionally, there are, you know, homosexuals, so men-to-men transmission, so bisexual men-to-men and men-to-women. So to me, I think we need to look at screening and vaccinating both populations. And most people would say that we want to vaccinate at an early age to help when the immune system's maturing and everything. So trying to have patients vaccinated prior to age of first intercourse and young when their immune systems are maturing is the optimal time frame. So I had two kids. I tried to have my kids vaccinated between the ages of 12 and 14. One was a boy, one was a girl, to help prevent you know, transmission of HPV, to help prevent cervical dysplasia, cervical cancer, as well as vaginal dysplasia, vulvar cancer, things of that sort, because HPV can have an effect on any of the tissues in the genital tract.
Yeah, that's a very important point you make, is men and women, young men and women. And we've talked to our own colleague, Marty Griffin, about this subject and how important it is for that vaccination for the HPV.
Yes.
Well, Doc, great information. Where do you recommend women who are interested in getting more information go?
I would say go to your primary care provider, because a lot of primary care providers will have handouts on HPV. We'll be able to talk about well woman examinations, cervical cancer screening. If they feel a bit uncomfortable with that, there are many places to see OB-GYN physicians. OB-GYN physicians, you know, focus on women's health and really are up to date on all these screening guidelines, as well as not all patients fit into nice little baskets and guidelines. There are people who are going to have special circumstances that may not follow into these guidelines. So at times the devil's in the details, because every patient is unique. And so, you know, there are many good OB-GYN physicians. The Health and Wellness Pavilion's up north, West Penn, down in the city. There's a Health and Wellness Pavilion down in the south as well that have numerous OB-GYN physicians. So to me, if you feel very comfortable with your PCP and they seem very well educated, start with them. If the patients don't feel comfortable or don't have a PCP, I would look up for an obstetrician gynecologist, and they should be your experts with respect to cervical cancer screening.
Excellent information, Doc. Keep up the great work. Thank you.
Absolutely. You have a great week.